What's up?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Great, guys. How about yourselves?
Good,
man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to chat with us, man.
Oh, anytime, for sure, man. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for letting me postpone it a little bit. I completely didn't expect to stay as long in the practice, and it's an hour and a half drive back home. So when I saw it, I was like, damn it.
No worries, man. You were honestly one of the most vocal fighters that we've dealt with, and you let us know pretty quickly. So anyone else that's trying to sit down with Shorty, he's a pretty solid fighter to touch base with. So go ahead and do that.
I appreciate that, man. I literally try to do every single interview, and I try to say yes to everything. Just have fun, you know. It's always a good experience and also great networking and publicity. So why not?
And you're a great face. I mean, everything that you do, you seem to dabble in a lot of the videoing. I saw a YouTube channel. You got a couple different videos out, the truth about MMA. I saw these little things. So tell us a little bit about that. You kind of like to be behind the camera, right?
I definitely like to be behind the camera. I've always, growing up, wanted to do like improv, acting, modeling, stuff like that. But by the time I was actually doing well in acting and modeling, I ended up, being a college wrestler and then eventually professional MMA fighter. So trying to dabble in different things is hard. But once you, I guess, get a little more stability, being able to figure out different things, especially now with social media and trying to improve your numbers and just your reach of people, I ended up having, a media team kind of follow me around and videotape here and there. I was like, you know what, man? I used to do my own thing on my phone, talking about the reality, the truth, and everything behind the scenes of MMA, stuff that people don't see. But then ended up being like a big brother thing and giving advice. And I was like, you know what? Let me kind of give people the sense of my training camp. And then I'm also revamping my mental series of like, is it good to be nervous before a fight? How do people handle grief? Let me give my experiences and, so different things. So whether it's viewed by millions or viewed by one person, if it helps somebody, that's an amazing thing. So I'm happy about it.
With that said, I mean, welcome everybody to the Vet the Casual. We got Shorty Torres here. We're going to be sitting down and ask him a bunch of questions. Pies is ready to fire away, as you can tell. So like, subscribe as we see his stuff. We're going to be throwing up all the videos he makes. So without further ado, take it away, Pies.
Yeah, so I mean, exactly touching on what you said, there's a lot of questions we have related to that grief, mental fortitude, all that kind of stuff. So, like you kind of touched on, it's been a crazy year. The world is changing, even with social media, that presence, all that kind of stuff. So one thing I wanted to ask you was, what was your highlight of 2020? Whether it's in the fighting realm, whether it's personal, what's something positive that you kind of took out of this crazy year?
Man, it's crazy. One, I didn't die, so I guess that's a highlight.
There you go. We're all still here.
It really depends on the day, because man, there's some days you just get so like in your mood, you're like, I don't care what happens. I mean, I'm not trying to kill myself, but I go outside and the car's about to hit me, I probably wouldn't move, But it's one of those things, man, which is funny, because I think I had that in the beginning of last year, where I was walking around a really rich neighborhood, and out of like all the cars, those are Mercedes that almost hit me. It's like, yeah, that's the car I want to get hit by. Some lady just, she stopped right on time, and she's like, "Why the hell didn't you move?" And I'm like,
I accepted my fate. I accepted my fate.
So good.
Why did you hit me? Come on. But no, man, it's I'm trying to think. I only had one fight last year. I was going through a lot of mental trauma, depression, mentally, and just like anyone else, I keep on telling people that COVID affected more people mentally than it did physically. Obviously people got sick. Obviously many people passed away, and it's unfortunate. But the fact was, a lot of us, whether we caught COVID or not, recovered. Obviously the high percentage rate of recovering, stuff like that. But it kept us from moments. It kept, it took time away from us. It kept us from opportunities. Kept us from a lot of things. And kept us inside. Me, I'm an extreme extrovert. So when I'm not outside or hanging out with somebody, I'm like, oh man, I'm dying here. I'm lonely. And then that's when the depression and all that stuff kicks in. But for me, it's crazy. So I did have one fight. I was going through a lot of trauma mentally with myself. And then obviously for people who don't know, my father passed away sometime, not last year now, but technically the year before in 2019. So it's weird to say that now. But it's one of those things that, you go through your own trials and tribulations to try to figure out some things. And I can tell you after my fight, which sucks because I wish I would have said this before my fight. But after my fight, I was like, man, I just had this huge relief of weight off my shoulders. I can finally say I'm happy again, which is a crazy thing. And that's why when I post on social media, if you look at my page, I try to be funny and optimistic and happy all the time. But dude, man, I've put some really, really, really dark posts out there, especially on my story, depending on like the mood and feel that I'm in that day. And I try to be as realistic as possible. And I'm not looking for attention to be like, oh guys, I'm sad, make me feel better. I just go, no man, because I got a blue check mark or this many followers or I'm big and famous or whatever the case may be, like depressed. I can get sad too. I can get depressed too. I can have relationship issues. I can have money issues. I can have life issues, you know? So I try to be as relatable as possible to everyone following me.
And obviously as fans, we really appreciate that, right? It's easy to jump on Instagram and think life is all peaches and cream, you know what I mean? But that's not the reality of life. And you giving us that real perspective just shows that, you know, we're all humans here, you know what I mean? And we all have things that we go through and want to work on. So, you know, you kind of touched on it. We're very sorry about the loss of your father. We know that was kind of a very sudden thing for you. And I know that you guys were very close. So, you know, a question that I have related to that is, you know, was he always very supportive of the career path you chose? It is a very unique one for sure. And also thinking in line with that is, what was your favorite moment with him?
You know, it's crazy. So I bring it up all the time when people were asking me, like, you know, why'd you start fighting? For me, it was my father. So when my father passed away, it's like, why do you fight? I was like, damn, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I fight. I used to fight for him, technically, to entertain him, because fighting was never my dream. It was just to help people. It just so happened every time I fought, more and more people got inspired. So I was like, oh, okay, two birds, one stone type of thing. My dad was a goon in the gang. You know, like, technically, that logo in the back, I don't know if you can see the skull here, but my dad was, you know, a Harrison Gent back in the day. He was a gang leader. He was a gang representative, an enforcer. So my dad, you know, excuse me if swearing's not allowed, but my dad grew up and beat the hell out of us. You know, like, that's just what he wanted us to do, was learn how to fight. So it was either he was mad and beat us up, or he was trying to play fight with us. And for me growing up, and I can say this honestly, like, even when he was passing away and I know I had to pull the plug, or even dark days where I'm not in the mood, for some reason training, the kid in me comes out. And I finally found, like, the reason why. I was like, man, why is training so, you know, stressless and I get to be free and open? It's like, oh, well, any little boy usually wants to be like their father's favorite child. Like, that's who they look up to. That's their hero. So for me, no matter how bad my father was, which when I was younger, he wasn't the best, you know, person in the world. He's definitely not the best father. But when he played with me, the only time we did play, it was play fighting. So I'm like, oh, makes sense now. It correlates, because that's all I did. You know, like, I live and train with Dean, and I do look at Dean as a father and mentor figure. So anytime, there was one day we usually do pad work, and one day he picked up the boxing gloves, and I'm like, oh, are we about to play right now? Oh my! And I'm very out there with my emotions. Like, I let everyone know how I'm feeling. I'm like, I'm looking around, I was like, I look like Chris Pratt in that one, like, gif where he's just like,
I know.
Like,
I
was like, oh, yeah. You know, so for me, my father always wanted me to fight, but I wouldn't say he wasn't supportive. But, you know, when I was in karate and stuff like that, he wasn't a fan of it because it was kicking. You know, my dad was, again, went to prison.
He's an OG,
Yeah, he's an OG. Literally, he's an OG. So it's one of his name was Shorty G. So my full nickname.
No way.
Oh,
Shorty G.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, so for me, I grew up fighting. My brother's 8 years older than me, so I had no choice but to fight. And both of them wanted to be fighters, never had the opportunity. So I lived it because of them. So by the time I turned professional, and he was like, oh, damn, you're actually doing this. Like, it's not just some amateur game.
That's
and you're
amazing.
Doing this, you know, type of thing. It's like, he went to, at least professionally, before I started going overseas, he went to every single fight. My father was a very anti-social, fuck you type of person, you know? So for him to go to these fights, to go on a plane, not smoke weed and be paranoid for 3 hours or do whatever, I'm just like, yo, this means a lot to me. And there'll be times where even back home, and rewatching the fight film, because Titan gave me all the rights to my fights, at least with them, I have film of my dad crying on the side, or, you know, cheering and happy. And I'm just like, damn,
that's amazing.
This is dope. And my dad, again, a very to himself type of person. You know, there's times that him and I, we both don't show emotion to each other. So there's a hug scenario I put up not too long ago where, like, he hugs me, both of each other, like, both of ourselves put our head down because we don't want to show, like, the tears in our eyes. We're like, you know, and then we just walk away.
Can't lose that street cred, man.
Yeah, but then, like, you see, like, the lips kind of, like, you know, don't, like, suck it in. So, you know, man, my dad was really proud of me. So, for me, you know, it's now more just continuing the legacy, the Shorty G legacy.
And it's so funny. Man. I feel like this is a match made in heaven because you seem to be knocking off these questions that we have naturally. But, you know, let's talk about Dean, because we've seen that seems to be like a natural transition. You know, coach, father figure, a lot of that stuff seems to be that you're living under his roof, is my understanding. So, you know, is Jillian basically there with you guys all the time training in COVID? You know, I see you guys got the mat set up. You know, talk to us about that.
Yeah, man. You know, actually, I was just with her like maybe half an hour ago. We drove down to Charles McCarthy. I'm with her literally every single day, whether I want to be with her or not. Like she lives maybe if I wanted to walk there 5 minutes, you know, so she'll skateboard from her place over. So she's from Port St. Lucie. Dean's from Port St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. I'm just like the tourist coming in. And Dean was nice enough to be like, hey, you're leaving American Top Team to join with me. You can stay at my place. And man, this guy, Thomas is an extremely generous and genuine person. You know, if he cares about you, he cares about you. If he doesn't, he's not going to mess with you. You know, he's not even going to like, he's not even going to fake like he likes you. He's going to be like, I'll be cool with you. I'll be mutual, but you're not going to be at my house. I'm not going to train you. I'm not going to do this, do that. So, you know, to be able to work with Dean and have this privilege is an amazing opportunity. And I can tell you a few things. One, he relates to my head coach back at home, the coach I've been with for years, Master Bob Shermer. But Dean, like, he's like a younger, you know, Master Bob to me. He's very scientific, very philosophical, and has his points of views and stuff. And he explains everything in extreme detail, not just MMA, but life. And for me, he doesn't just teach me stuff inside the cage, teaches me stuff outside the cage. And, you know, Dean being in his 40s now, I feel like is kind of been able to finally live out the life he's really, really wanted after fighting and being just out there, you know? So, you know, being on TV, being on Dana White's show, traveling the world. And dude, when you come to the house, he tells people, he's like, Shorty, you can't invite anyone over unless they do something artistic, color a book, make a candle, you know, do a drawing, sing in karaoke. Like this house, if you guys seen our videos, like we have fun in the house. Like I sing, I dance, I made Play-Doh roses, I do whatever, you know? So, man, we get real creative and we have fun like kids. You know, we try to be as free as possible. That's amazing. And even in the practices, they're like a master class, and that's what he calls them. He goes, I don't have to pay attention to you because you guys should already know how to do the move. And if you don't, ask me. But I don't have to pay attention. I can be looking at my phone the whole time and go, all right, Shorty, I need you to do this, this sequence, and this sequence, which is 100% why Jillian goes first in every single sequence. And then I just copy off of her. But 100% copy. Like, for me, I'm the standard guy. She's the ground person. So I'm catching up when it comes to the MMA transitioning. But, man, having Jillian here, too, like, she's easily one of my best friends. She's a stepsister I never wanted, pretty much. And she's definitely the redheaded stepchild. But, she's a very genuine person, you know, and to have a friend like that and have Dean and for people who know Jillian, to say I have a friend like that is very weird because she's Jillian. How about that? You know, so but man, she's one of my best friends, and having Dean here, it's a nice family compared to, I've been to many big gyms. This is not just ATT or Jackson Wink or Training Lab or Dwayne's, like Rufus Sport. I mean, so many more, but all of them had their own little families and cliques depending on how big they were. ATT was so big, it was like a high school. They have their like own little tables of groups of people, but for this house, like we're all family, you know, like I've lost money in paydays to go help Jillian in fights. And I know I'm going to do more of that. And she's going to do the same thing for me. And Dean will do the same thing for all of us. So we make sacrifices for each other because we know it's worth it. And we know without each other, we're probably not going to get to where we want to be. So Dean right now is in Abu Dhabi for until the 25th. So literally Jillian and I are just traveling all across the state of Florida and competing against different people, going to different practices and being open. You know, and Dean's perfectly fine with that because he's a true mixed martial artist where he's like, yeah, man, you're not going to learn everything from me. Go have fun over here. Go play over there and just, you know, mix it up. Enjoy your life.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, and that's something I actually want to touch on because I got like 5 years on you. And Dean, I kind of go back to those UFC heydays, right, where all of us old fans are like, yeah, man, that was the good stuff. I mean, Dean was a big part of that, and his Ultimate Fighter season is probably one of my favorites. And you have big guys coming out of there now as coaches. You know, you got Matt Serra, you got him coming out. And I really wanted to say, like, that's the natural transition. You got to start somewhere. And I think when you look at Ray Longo and what Matt Serra have built already, I mean, Dean seems to have that credibility there with the right people. I mean, he's on TV shows with Dana White for a reason. And so it almost seems like he's trying to build that like nucleus of fighters. And you and Jillian are a big part of that. I mean, is there thoughts of like expanding that team? Are you guys like his main focus right now to get you guys to the absolute highest peak of your careers?
You know, I can't speak for him, but I know at least from experience, you know, he's had his own gym and then obviously being part of American Top. And he goes, man, I got paid residual income. I didn't have to worry about money. The only problem was, he goes, I didn't care about these fighters. He goes, I cared about Jillian mainly because I was her only coach. You know, I started her up and I got her this far. But everyone else, he goes, I don't care. Like other people pay me, it's nice, but it he goes, I'm doing this career because I like it, but I have no actual investment, no emotional investment in these people because I just don't care. He goes, I've been a pad holder for certain guys, and I never go to their fight, they lose. I'm like, all right, cool. And he takes off, or they win. He's like, all right, cool. And he still takes off, you know, because he just doesn't care if they won or lost. But for us, he wants us to win. Like, he touches us almost every single day. Just random deep stuff. You're like, okay, hey man, like, are you okay? But no, he'll text us some deep stuff, and you're like, yeah, yes sir. Like, okay, I get it. And he's always trying to instill stuff in you of I want you to win. I want you to do this today. I want you to do that today. And I want you to think about just little stuff. And Dean and I are very, very similar. The only thing for him is, you know, he's the introvert. I'm the extrovert. He has I wouldn't call it fake Dean, but he has like camera Dean. You know, where like he comes out, and he's like, yeah, and then he's gone. He's like, interview's over. Cool. I'm going to be in my room for 2 hours because I need to recoup. But he
reminds me of our interview with Jillian.
Yeah, 100%. They
tried so hard.
I'm surprised you did an interview with Jillian. She's very.
Bro, we tried so hard. We tried so damn hard to bring out character. She was really good. She was amazing at answering the question. We tried so hard. You know, it's so easy with you to have that kind of conversation to keep it going, you know?
Well, me, I won't. I just won't shut up.
Yeah.
But Jillian, on the other hand, like she won't talk unless she forcefully asks a question, and she's like, "Oh, damn, I gotta answer." You know, I gotta answer more than one word. You know, answers. But Dean is that like perfect in the middle. You know, where he's like he's awkward and quiet, but he's out there when he needs to be and wants to be. And he's, you know, he could talk to people, but man, he's such a very inspiring individual. Very, very smart. Very genuine. Very caring, giving. Obviously, he did that long bike ride for men's mental health. And man, he just does things where you're like, man, you don't have to. Or he's very open minded to stuff. And you know, having that guy to be there, and I know I can go to him. You know, there's other coaches where, you know, I want to look at them as a father figure. I want to have that close relationship. I don't want this to be a business, especially if I'm putting my life on the line and representing you. I don't want this to be a business. I want you to freaking care about me. So by having Dean here taking care of me, he's taking care of a couple other fighters here. Man, it's nice. So I don't see him at all expanding. He's the type of person like, yeah, Matt Serra has a school, Ray Longo has a school, and all these other people that he's really good friends with has a school. But he wants, if he does ever make a school, that's going to be his family. But I just see him going,
I fucking
these are my guys. These are my handful of guys. I don't need 20, 30 people. I need 1 to 5 people, and they're all going to be world champions.
I fucking love that story. I absolutely, that is amazing. I love it, man.
Yeah, man, that is really dope. And it's crazy to hear like the family aspect of it, really, right? You guys have basically created a creative space where you can work, you can have fun, and just be each other's family. And to, well, you know,
it's constantly, it's crazy because like I can go to the gym, like, I'm not even gonna lie to you, like, I have this problem, can I vent? Like, can I have just a ear, or even like a shoulder pain, and vice versa. Same thing with Dean. Like, if I need any type of personal problem, not just specifically practice, I can ask him. The only thing I can tell you this, the only thing, because he's so like so emotionally invested in us that, like, even my last fight, even though I got the draw, and I didn't lose, this next fight, like, he's just like, you need, and excuse my language, he's like, you need to fucking win. That's your mindset. You need to do this and do that. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a lot of pressure, man. And I'm not even thinking about anything else. I'm thinking about, like, I need to make you happy because you've done so much for me. You know, I don't want to. I know he's not invested money wise because, trust me, he ain't making much out of my paycheck. But he's definitely invested in me as a person, as an individual. He wants to be a champion, you know? So he doesn't, obviously, he cares if I lose, but he wants to improve every single mistake and make it to the point where I'm an Anderson Silva, I'm a GSP, I'm a Khabib, you know? So hopefully one day, but I'm just waiting to fight, really.
That's so dope. Yeah, it's so dope. And, you know, constantly being surrounded by that positivity can only help, you know? So that kind of leads me into my next point. It takes a lot of mental strength and fortitude, especially being in the fighting world, you know, let alone regular life. I can only imagine how taxing and how strong you got to be mentally to succeed in this world. It's something you've kind of been outspoken to as well. Is there anything you want to touch on there? Any message you want to pass on to the youth who's maybe trying to get into this?
I think if I were to pass it on to the youth, I would say do a different sport. You know, no, don't do this. No, I say, please be a bowler. Do something else.
Be a bowler.
You know, like so much less taxing your body. Like I can tell you, I'll probably die early in my life because of how painful this sport is. Like I'm tired as hell, and I still gotta go to sparring later. You know, so it's one of those things. You're gonna spend more money than you make. You're gonna waste more time than you do getting forward in life. And you're going to, you know, actually, I have one kid from Combat Do who came down for jiu-jitsu tournament. Mm-hmm. They ended up not doing a jiu-jitsu tournament. But anyways, he goes, now he's just staying here for free. Anyways, he goes, yo, I want to do MMA and make money off of it. I was like, wrong sport. He's like, yeah. What? I was like, dude, there's no money in MMA. Like, I'm not saying you can't be a Conor mm-hmm. McGregor and Silva, mm-hmm. all these guys, John Jones, sponsored by whatever the hell. It's a fact of you have to get that far. And I'm not saying you can't, but it's a fact of, some people, man, I know some extremely talented people that just never made it. And it's just different opportunities, different time for different people. Sometimes you might miss the opportunity. Sometimes you might, you know, catch it. For John Jones, all these people, they caught it. For me, I might have missed mine and I still don't know about it. Maybe my opportunity is still coming up. You never, you know, we'll find out one day. But it's the fact of money-wise, yeah, you might be able to make a living. But it took me years, given a lot faster than many, but it took me years and a lot of damn hard work to get up to this point. I've had concussions. I've had many lacerations. I've had surgeries because of fights. I've had lots of pains, bruises where I just don't want to get up anymore. I used to be engaged. I lost my engagement. I lost a lot of memory. Even my vision's messed up. I slur my words here and there. I lost time with people. Hell, my dad passed. Given I had two fights that were canceled at the time, that was 6 months of training I could have spent at home next to my father. You know, so it's like, I'm losing time with specific people I love and care about. Given I get to travel the world and I know I'm being, I guess not cherishing the moment, but yes, I get to travel the world, but I do that stuff alone. Like, dude, I went to Rome and took it, and I'm a very extrovert, so I need someone there with me. I went to Rome accidentally and I'm just chilling there and there's these couples taking photos and doing this. And I'm like, can somebody just take a photo of me holding my backpack? Like, holding my dog in Rome and my slice of pizza in Rome, and it's depressing. Look at it; it's funny as hell at the same time, but it sucks, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like with that one story that literally just came out, and Dean just sent it to me. It's about this guy who was a UFC fighter, 17 fight veteran, who now has dementia, and he's just upset. He's like, man, I forget stuff short term memory wise. He goes, my daughters have kids, and I'm afraid that I'm not gonna be able to remember them. And this and that, and because you have dementia, you know, obviously you're not going to last your full lifespan. So mm-hmm. this career is, if you're going to do it, man, do it because you're going to enjoy it. Because you're having
yeah,
fun.
You gotta
and because
love
you love it. You know, because, I knew UFC fighters that, given they were already released, but I know UFC fighters that work a full-time job while mm-hmm. still fighting in the UFC and having to practice at the same time. So it's like, you know, this is a hard thing. That's why for me, luckily, I find sponsors. Hell, I sponsor my own fighters too through my own foundation. But I get sponsors. I get residual income. I work for other businesses in their marketing departments to get different things. I make commission off of sales. I hustle my ass off. I work mm-hmm. for Titan for commentating. I work for Brave for commentary. I mm-hmm. do personal training. I teach seminars. So all my money isn't technically through fighting, given most of it is. But if it weren't for certain people and certain opportunities in my life, I probably wouldn't have a closed mouth don't get fed. So definitely open your mouth. Man, if you're going to do the sport, make sure you pay attention, you do it and give it 110%, because if you don't go out there and give it 100%, don't do this. Do something else, because you're going to get your ass kicked.
For sure. And, you know, having to go the route you do as well, right? Find other avenues. Don't just rely strictly on fighting.
You're an entrepreneur. You're basically an entrepreneur utilizing the fame you do have. It's what you should do. It's what everybody should do, really.
I'm really just waiting to make an OnlyFans account. So, you know, I'm going to be one of those MMA fighters that gets that next, which I'm not going to lie to you. It's funny because everyone's like, oh, this MMA fighter is downing herself down and doing this OnlyFans. I'm like, there's no shame in that. Like, you're paying for it. So how are you going to bash her for doing it? You know, so mm-hmm. it's one of those things that, and even if
Rachel,
you know about the only
Rachel,
fans, yeah, so Rachel, do it. I'm not, you know, it's funny because like, I know
she's not doing it.
America top team or other fighters, you know, I'm just like, there's no shame in that. Like, hey, if that's the way you make money, not even lie to you. If I was a female with that out of the body, I'd probably do it too.
I'm going to be doing
it. Like, like, what was it? When people were like, oh, I want a picture of your feet. I was like, send me the money first and I'll send you a picture of my feet. If you're into it, I ain't gay, but $20 is $20. You know? I'll do it.
I hate feet too, yo. I hate feet.
That's so good.
I'm like, send me the money and I got you. Everybody has their price.
It's so true.
All right, so you know, jumping back into the fight game, you know, I do know that you
still talk about that. No.
Well, it's funny because from a very personal circumstance, you explained why, you know, for a hardcore fan, it's always really easy to understand why for a fighter that's as good as you to leave a crowded gym like American Top Team and go with a coach like Dean Thomas. Like, to me, that's a no-brainer. And I mean, the way you explained it kind of rolls right into what we want to talk about here. So yeah, I know Pai's had a few things you want to touch on about the whole, you know, last couple of years.
Yeah, so, you know, back in 2018, you were cut by the UFC, it seemed like, you know, mm-hmm. as a scapegoat. You know, we did read about that on Flow Combat, and I think you were pretty vocal about it as well. Mm-hmm. How was that experience for you? And, you know, how, looking back on it a few years later, how do you kind of feel about that?
So two things. Touching on the, you know, American Top Team, or the other big gyms, and going to Dean, I know how tough I am. And being 28 mm-hmm. now, entering the prime of my career, I don't need to train with a number of guys. I need mm-hmm. to focus one-on-one and get that help. And there'd be, man, I'm not, again, all the gyms. It's not just American Top Team. It just so happened to be my recent gym.
Of course.
American Top Team, phenomenal people and even phenomenal coaches. The only problem is when you have 100-plus professional athletes on the floor and only 5 high-level coaches, you're not going to get that much attention. It's spread very, mm-hmm. very thin, especially when you have Dustin Poirier having a fight or Masvidal having a fight. Yeah, obviously, they have to pay a little more attention to them. And that's just how it is. And it's respectful. The only problem is, you know, certain big gyms will use people more than others or this or that. And I just wasn't getting attention. And even though my practice partners were phenomenal and helped me out to the most of their ability, which is great. Like, I learned a lot from Pedro Munoz, Juan Porta, and so mm-hmm. many more. It's the fact of I needed somebody to actually hold my hand and be like, all right, hey, you're doing a phenomenal job, but here, let me help you out a little bit. And I've been through it before, so do this instead of doing that. Do this instead of doing that. So, you know, Dean, again, is the father figure that I trusted and I've worked with before because of Jillian. I was great practice partners to her before we even left over here separately. Her and I have always been friends for a very long time, pretty much my entire stay of American Top Team. And, man, you know, she got to teach me a lot. And I was like, oh, that's because of Dean? I didn't even know Dean fought in the UFC. Like, I... Mm-hmm. Even still today, I've never seen one of Dean's fights. Like, it's just one of those things. Like,
yeah.
I have no fucking clue. But it just so happened that I never knew who Dean was. I was just kind of training, and then Jillian was showing me good stuff. I'm like, oh, you learned from this guy? Let me do it too. And then I was like, oh, fucking kind of good. But
Jillian's the glue,
dude. She's something. That's for sure.
It's the Canadian blood. Let's go. Bringing people together.
Oh man, that woman. Anyway, she's something. But like I said, the redheaded stepsister I never wanted. But with the UFC question, man, I'm not even lying to you. That was part of my depression. So when I lost, given I lost Alex Perez, a very formidable opponent, I lost in a 9-day, or I won a 9-day notice against Jared Brooks. Then I lost mm-hmm. a 20-day notice, I think like 20 days after Jared Brooks. And in, I think it was like 50 days, I lost 54 pounds to fight Alex mm-hmm. Perez, like that second fight total. Mm-hmm. And dude, I was so mentally broken. Like, the UFC gave me an ultimatum. They go, you either fight now or you don't fight in December. Like we told you, my fight was in August and I found out about this in July. They told me I was going to fight in December or sometime at the end of the year because I just fought. And then the Alex Perez fight came up and they go, Shorty, you either take this fight now or you don't fight until next year. And next year doesn't mean January. Next year can mean the next December. And I'm like, Jesus. I was like, what? I'm getting ultimatums? Like, dude, mm-hmm. like, no offense. I've already just taken a 9-day notice for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, cool. I won accidentally, whatever the case may be. It's like, I won. I got paid. Given it was shit money compared to what my resume definitely deserves. If I was any other weight class besides a flyweight, I would have been paid. But I got signed to a dying weight class. So, like, I was literally the last person mm-hmm. to be signed at that moment. And when I lost at my worst. So mentally, dude, I was on a 34-fight winning streak. So mentally, I don't care about losing. because if you beat me, dude, you're the better man that day. And technically, again, Alex Perez mentally was definitely the better man that day, and 100% physically. But dude, mentally, I was already on Monday when my fight was Saturday at the Staples Center in LA. I was like, I just want to go home. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens. I just want to go home. Even my team was mm-hmm. like, we don't like how you're acting. We don't like this. I was like, I don't care. I just want to go home. And I lost the worst way possible, you know? So it's like, okay, cool. I have two more fights on my contract. I'll go 3-1 in the UFC. And then I was going through my own little mental trauma. You got to think about it. For me, is I worked my ass off to get to my NFL, my MLB, my NBA, to get the UFC to recognize me. Dude, I had resumes that never been heard of before.
Of course.
I was a two-weight division champ simultaneously. Yes. 5-0. Yeah. Conor McGregor did it at 14-2. I did it 3 times as fast, and he never defended it, but I defended it once already, and then defended it twice after. You know, so it's like, I was doing stuff, and I was a two-time world champs, amateur, pioneer in MMA. Like, no one's ever done what I did, and even so today. And so when they released me, or I ended up making my mental series because I was going through my little trauma, like, man, they're treating me like shit. Anyways, let me just kind of help people. And when DJ got treated, I made a video about that. And BJPenn.com shared it, MMA Junkie, Flow Combat. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, people like my series. Like, this is dope. Mm. And the UFC didn't like it. And it so happened that my allegations, or what I assumed, my assumptions of the UFC slowly cutting the flyweight division, I ended up, like you said, being the scapegoat, and I ended up being the first one to be released. And I'm like, why? There's so many other people that had losing streaks or this or that. Like, why am I? And, you know, they can cut you at any time, which I talked about it before, but I don't have the platform like Jorge Masvidal has, where, you know, George Masvidal is like, oh, we're independent contractors, but we can't do certain jobs without them saying, because we're exclusive to them, but they can cut us at any time. It's like, dude, I had a 4-fight contract and I got cut in my second fight. Why? The ultimatum for them was, if you lose at any time or say no to any fight, they can release you at any moment. And it's like, I lost a fight. So they're like, get on out of here. And I didn't have the choice to be bumped up. I wanted to fight 35. They're like, nope, you're cut. And I was like, I was a champ at 35 and I defended it. So it's not like I, at the time, half my wins were at 135. So I'm like, this makes nothing but sense. If I lose then, cool, cut me. I'm on a 2-fight losing streak. Like, you guys just do WEC. And they're like, nope, sorry, you're out. And I'm like, dude, I fought my ass. Like, I've been doing this since I was 4 years old. And I'm literally achieving accolades that no one's ever done before. And it's like, it given no one ever deserves anything, but I felt so deserving of the spotlight that I never got it. You know, so, you know, and then it was just very unfair that you had fighters like Dustin Ortiz fought Benavidez for pretty much a title shot. Ended up losing by a close decision. It wasn't like split, but it was a close decision. And they cut him. It's like, dude, he was on a 3-fight winning streak. And his fight before that, he won by a knockout. And he's a UFC vet, but you're going to cut him? That makes no sense. And they just started cutting people when they lost. But when you had my opponent, Alex Perez, and other people who lost, they were allowed to either fight again or bumped up. So it was super biased. So it was super political. And I'm like, man, this game sucks. Like, I was like, man, it doesn't matter what you do in your life. It just matters like whose ass you kiss who are you closest with. You know, I wasn't close with Mick Maynard. I wasn't close with Sean Shelby. And I definitely didn't really know Dana. So, you know, moving up to it, going to Brave, I was fine with going to a different promotion. It was a fact of I wasn't excited because I didn't think the competition was there. And then I beat Amir Abazi, but man, I should have finished him. I dropped him 3 times the first round. But mentally, I just didn't care. I'm like, no one's going to live up to UFC fighters. And then he ends up being in the UFC and beating guys.
That's,
I'm like, And I'm like, I'm beating UFC caliber guys. And I easily beat him, no problem. And like, without trying, mentally, I'm not going to do the Kamaru Usman thing. But mentally, I was like, I fought you at 30%, you know? So it's one of those things that I started to do my mental series and really started to face a lot of depression. And then, you know, almost a year later, my fucking father dies. You know, so it's just like, oh, man, that's like the pinnacle of the mountain, you know. I'm facing all the troubles and trials and tribulations right now. So we went through my fair share of depression. I had my engagement. I was telling you about that. Even though we weren't together for a long time, like, we have officially stopped talking. So it's like, oh, my heart, you know, I'm dying here. So it's like, man, everything was just going bad. But
when it rains, it pours, man.
Oh, dude, it fucked me up. And excuse my language, I'm just getting into it now. So I was like, let me just start putting Adele in the background real quick. But no, man, I was like, I'm gonna start drinking. But it just, dude, it got me depressed. It got me to a real low state where like I didn't want to fight anymore. But hanging out with people like Jillian, hanging out with people like Dean, and doing these things, like COVID honestly was the best thing possible for me, because they got to, you ever hear that statement when girls say, it's like, it's not you, it's me. I just really need to find myself right now. Like that's kind of how it was. I was like, man, I think I need to find myself. And I, after my last fight against Sean Santella, man, it made me just enjoy life again. And honestly, to say, like, I'm happy as hell now. And yeah, there's bad days. I still have bad days. I still have good days. I still have intermediate days and in the middle, whatever. But it's the way you look at it and how you handle it. And man, I've had a lot of mental coaches. I had a lot of people reach out to me. I've advanced to a lot of people. I've opened up. And it's, I'm starting to be the kid I was again, which for me is having fun. And that's my motive in life, is to have fun. Why do kids do a sport? Because it's great. Why do they stop doing it? Because it sucks. You know, so yeah. It's like, for me, if I'm putting myself in the pain that I have to do, and I'm 28, I'm already in the middle. Like, I have to go all in or not. So it's like, I have to try my best to find a fun motive to do it. And, you know, I found that motive. So I'm really happy about it. And for me, it's this family here motivates me to keep on pushing forward.
That's so dope. And a way to come back full circle on my first question. Obviously, 2020 was... Yeah. There you go. Finding the family was the highlight of 2020.
Thanks for coming back. Appreciate that.
No problem. I talk my ass off, so I just keep on going.
No, but this is it's not like you're rambling about garbage. This is like really primo shit. And, you know, we all go through things, and I'm definitely suffering from a lot of shit. So listening to you from an MMA fighter side, which is like the sport that I turn to make myself happy, it's just interesting to hear what you guys are going through to make me happy.
And trust me, we all have our moments, but it's definitely an adventure. And I notice, and I say this multiple times, you start to correlate it with other things in your life where you're like, man, I always tell people, oh, are you afraid you're never going to achieve your goals? Like, the goal is not the thing. Like, yeah, that's the goal. But my go on this journey, you know, it's like, if I don't keep walking forward, I'm not going to get to my friend's house, you know? So I got to go on this adventure. Honestly, I might not make it all the way, because depending on how long it is, I might, you know, it might rain, I might trip, I might stumble, my feet might hurt, but I'm definitely going to be a lot farther than where I originally started if I don't get up and move. So I might as well just get up and enjoy the journey. So same thing with MMA, like I might not make the goal, but dude, that adventure in between getting to that point has been awesome. So looking back at it, I was like, man, did I make a lot of friends? Phenomenally, yes. Did I technically lose relationships and you know, I guess not really hang out with them as much anymore? Like, yeah, that people come and go. And that's a sad part of life. You gotta be used to it. No one's ever ready for anything. But it's a fact of, because there's sad shit out there, doesn't mean you can't get up and still have fun. You're gonna have your bad days. I got to enjoy those happy moments. So I gotta take the good with the bad and keep on pushing forward.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like you said, it's all about just enjoying the journey along the way. That's all you can really do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like, let's talk a little bit about that fight game. You know, you are a really good analyst, in my opinion. It comes from the knowledge of the sport. Like, I like listening to guys that are, you know, that can talk and teach me something. I think it's what Dominic Cruz kind of popularized that in the UFC, and a lot of fighters were doing it long before that, but you're doing a great job. And so let's talk a little bit about what you think the UFC looks like in the flyweight division in 2020. You know, let's be honest here, that Alex Perez fight would have been a bit more competitive with the full training camp and all that. And in terms of, you know, all the chips falling in the right place for somebody, you know, Brandon Moreno, who a lot of people thought, you know, controversially was kind of bounced out of a title shot and it was given to Alex Perez, Dana White contender series, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, what do you think about all that? Like, what's your take?
Yo, I look at it from the marketing point of view, because that's what it is. It's honestly, and that was my problem, is I even still today, I try my best not to look at it this way, but it's only business. You know, it's nothing personal. So when you look at it, it's like, why did they put Alex Perez there? Because if Alex Perez would have won, he would have been the very first guy on the contender series to win a championship. Then they could have been like, oh, yo, I'm making champions. This show's great, worth watching. You might watch future contenders and this and that. You know, so even with Alex Perez losing, they can say we brought a contender up to the championship fight. Given that he win, no, but he has plenty of years to get that back, you know, or get the opportunity back. For Brandon Moreno, one also exciting fight. Did he lose the round, or did he lose the fight technically if that point wasn't deducted? Yes, you know, because that's what technically made it to draw. But man, Brandon Moreno is a warrior. I've trained with him before. He's a freaking genuine human being and a great analyst in Spanish and all that stuff. Yeah. So you know, man, he's, and that guy extremely works hard. He's a very humble person. But you know, it's one of those things that, what do I see the flyweight division coming up? You know, it's coming back, that's for sure. They're hiring a lot of people. The only problem is, especially during this COVID, a lot of guys got hired with very, very crappy contracts, lower than mine. And mine was literally like an Ultimate Fighter entry contract. These guys were like for, and I don't know Amir Albazi's paycheck, but they're like, oh, Amir Albazi, you're in the Middle East and we're having Middle East fights. We need a fighter in a week and a half notice. Can you do this fight for this much? And people don't even care about the money. They're just like, I just want to fight in the UFC. I just want to say I'm a UFC fighter, because if you're smart enough, like I have been, I've been able to say I'm a UFC vet. I get sponsors with that. I get money through this. I do, you know, be able to promote the hell out of it. But for these fighters, you know, it's not all of them do it, but they're like, oh, I get to fight in the UFC just to say you did it. Even if you lose, to say you fought in the UFC, like you made it to the best of the best, you know? So for these flyweights coming in, you know, be smart. But I do believe this flyweight division is coming back. Obviously, the last two fights, I think Figueiredo's is a phenomenal star, and he's a little belittled right now. But if he gets to fight Cejudo, which I believe will be the fight coming up very, very soon, if he gets to fight maybe at a different weight class, because he is a big flyweight.
He's a beast.
You know, I can see him doing some great things. I don't know how long he'll be champion, but he definitely surprised with the Alex Perez fight, especially with that submission. So he's definitely, you know, his game has grown a lot. And I think he's going to be a very exciting fighter. I don't know how long he'd be champion for. I think if Cejudo comes back, Cejudo will beat him. But, we'll wait and see and see what happens. But I believe this flyweight division is coming back. And I look at it this way. Did the UFC save money when it came to cutting the flyweight division? Yes, they just were bought out. These people, they need to make, what is it, $4.6 or $6.4 billion back, like, and help all their investors. They made money because they had to cut these fighters. They ended up having these guys trying to make more entertaining fights to keep their contracts. And when you as a fan go, oh no, these flyweight fighters are leaving, we should really start paying attention to them because they deserve to be, you know, on these main event cards. Then there's more views watching these fights. And then now with these fighters literally cutting, I think there was like 30 or 40 guys that got cut, you know, besides myself. There was only literally 15 guys in the UFC flyweight division, which is a bunch of BS.
When and they're all ranked, like, basically.
Yeah. And they're like, some guys like, I'm ranked number 15 in the world. I'm like, no, you're not. Like for example, like Amir Albazi, and I'm trying my best not to hate on him. Because like Amir Albazi is ranked like 13 or 14 in the world right now. I said, dude, I beat you, no problem. And I'm not ranked. Why? Because it's UFC. It's you know, it's political. So
it's politics,
it's the fact that, and now fighters are being rehired. I know, Mateus Nicolau just got hired, a Brazilian who was a flyweight, got cut, and they came back. So it's like, that's awesome. I'm happy for these guys. Just make sure you read the contract. Make sure you get respect. And for me personally, and I feel like this will be a question you guys will ask, so I'm just trying to answer it now. You're like, oh, will you ever fight for the UFC again? Right now, no. Obviously, I have my goals. I have my aspirations. We're brave. I want to be a double-weight class champ, and I'm not going to stop until I do so. But the fact is, if the UFC ever wanted to rehire me, besides the money, which, yeah, you definitely got to pay me more. But it's the fact, because I want to be respected. But my fact is, just like here, I want to join a team where it's a family. I want to join a business that's going to respect me as a businessman instead of just some individual that they can easily replace. I'm going to say this as cocky as possible. I'm fucking Jose Shorty Torres. You can't replace me. So you need, if you're going to hire me, you're going to respect me as I respect fighting for you, because I put my life on the line every single day for you. So maybe you can at least give me some type of respect in return. So for me, I want to accomplish my goals first to make them want me back, if that makes sense.
100%. Because, I mean, let's talk about Brave quickly. I mean, Brave 23 is where you beat Amir Albazi. Brave 29, you end up headlining the card, and he's, I think, the fourth fight from the top, or the third fight from the top. So you end up winning your fight, and he ends up, sorry, you, that's the draw, and he ends up basically, you know, losing that, going on to beat, or winning that, then gets the Malcolm Gordon fight at 135 in the UFC. So for me, it's almost like, you're right in thinking your time will come if it's supposed to come, because, you know, let's talk about the Sean Santella fight. Like, that fight was absolutely amazing to watch. So much resilience from both of you guys. The guy's an absolute, he wouldn't let you go. Like, he was all over you, dude. He was absolutely all over you. And you, obviously, that is a practice you're still learning. And so, you know, the resilience you showed, the defense you showed, and I mean, you came back in the later round. So for me, it's like, we understand the type of fighter you are. And let's be real. If you belong in the UFC, you will get there. And frankly, you got a lot going on right now in Brave. And what we're seeing, I mean, how was it being around Khamzat? Is he everything that the UFC is making him out to be? I feel like you met him at Brave 23. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I commentated for him. I commentated for his his last fight in Brave in Abu Dhabi, and before he transferred to the UFC, he was supposed to fight for the Brave Championship, just never got the opportunity.
Yeah.
So Kazma and all these other guys that are slowly transitioning to the UFC, Amir Abazi, like, Amir's a great fighter as well. Even Sean Fantella, again, like, even though he is primarily a Damian Maya, you know, Haniyaya, jiu-jitsu based type guy, you know, he wants to scrap. He wants to put on his show. And he's a, he's a veteran. That's why he put me to a draw, because he's just so damn smart. Even talking after the fight, I'm like, ah, yeah, I can see where you see that now. Like, oh, cool. Like, I'm taking so tips off of him, even though we're supposed to fight one day again. You know, like, that's the rematch. It just so happens that there's travel restrictions against Americans, so I can't go overseas. Like, I was supposed to, we were supposed to fight in Russia in December. Then Russia's like, sorry, man, no one's allowed. I was like, oh, okay, right, so no one's allowed. Then they're like, all right, we're gonna move it to January. Everyone's allowed except for you, because you guys are Americans. Sorry, guys. And it's like, what? Like, it was, dude, it's a freaking, like, Sochi, Russia, like the most beautiful place in Russia. So like,
yeah,
you know? And so now we're just waiting. Now I'm pretty sure our fight will be sometime in the Middle East, hopefully in March or as soon as possible, because I'm getting skinny for no reason. And I, yo, come on, I want to eat my food.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, so it's the fact of, like, I probably need this really, but it's the fact of, you know, we don't get paid until we fight primarily, you know? So you got to think about it in both our cases, whether Sean or mine, given, I believe he's almost 10 years old. I think he's 8 years older than I am. You know, for me, it's like, I'm spending time away from home. I'm in a whole different state. You know, I'm, again, there's no relationship, no kids, no family, no anything. Like, given I'm technically working every single day, I might not have a 9-to-5, but how about for you guys who do have 9-to-5s? And it's like, what happens when your boss is like, hey, man, I know your 2 weeks are up and I just can't pay you right now. I'll pay you in another 2 weeks. And then the month passes. Hey, I'll pay you next month. Month passes. I'll pay you next month. It just keeps on going. I don't know. You're working for free for a year and a half. That was how long my last fight was until I fought Sean Santella. You know, so it's like, dude, think about it. A year and a half for, doesn't matter how much money I make. That's not enough money, you know? And I got to pay my team. I got to pay taxes. I got to pay every single month for my training camp, my living expenses, my yada, yada, yada. So it becomes difficult to be an MMA fighter. And that's why, again, like, you got to find your own different motivations. And for me, I don't do it for the money, given obviously that helps because it helps my family and stuff like that. But, you know, you got to do this for different reasons. You got to do it for you. You got to do it for fun. And that's, again, what the positive thing I've, my outlook has been lately. But man, money would definitely make things a little more fun.
It always does, man. It always does. That's a great perspective. And yeah, if you're jumping into the game, do it for the love for sure. So now we kind of want to segment into a little bit more of, you know, some fun topics, getting to know you a little bit better. So the first thing I want to jump into is, you know, you've been around the game for a long time. You, like you said, you've been doing this since you were three. What's kind of the coolest thing you've seen or experienced? And what's kind of your favorite moment of your career so far?
I guess the favorite, I won't even say favorite, because that's a hard thing, because I have so many moments in my career that I'm like, oh, dude, I can't believe I'm here. It's, man, that's a hard question, because I've been through a lot.
You've seen a lot.
I've been all across the world. I made friends with royalty. You know, I've been able to, you know, just hang out with so many amazing people, from champions to royalty to you know, military, which I believe, again, I completely respect the military. I've been able to just have fun and enjoy life and just say yes, you know, be Jim Carrey and yes man and go, oh, cool, I'm here now. Like, why not? I don't know. I know Korean, you know. It's just one of those things where you just, you never know what you're going to learn, see, and do. I've done some dumb things. Like, I think I went to Kazakhstan and had horse meat, and I think it was camel milk. And both were horrible. I'm pretty sure it was camel milk. Either horse milk or camel milk, which both of them, I didn't know they gave milk. And whichever it was, it 100% tasted like, picture, but like still liquidy, not chunky. Picture like rotten milk with mixed with like Sprite or 7-Up, and you just stir it. Like, it tasted just like that. If you can picture the taste, it tasted like, it was like sour, chunky, thick, and like bubbly all at the same time. I was like, how is this milk bubbly? Like, do you guys carbonate it, or is that just how it comes out? Like, if somebody pisses in a cup, it gets all bubbly. Like, that's kind of how it is. dude, it was
you so get bad. The foam off
the dude, I've had
the mustache. Goat eye.
Yeah, I've had a goat eye, like fresh goat eye. I'm trying to, I swam with piranhas on a trip once.
That's dope.
I'm trying to think, man. I've been on trips where I don't know, they're like, you want to go skydiving? I'm like, guess I'm going skydiving. You know, I've been rappelling, I've been whitewater rafting. I have partied in the Czech Republic, which is like the party capital of Europe.
Frogs the shit, man. Frogs the shit.
I almost died. That was a good one. I've done so much where, like, you know, the next day, and this is not even like partying wise, I'm just like, man, I can't believe I did that yesterday. Like, holy crap. You know, so, you know, even though my life, I like to down it and make it super depressing, I've enjoyed myself. And fighting career wise, I don't even look at the fights as highlights. Technically, the biggest highlight of my career was winning the second world championship or the second division championship in Titan. It's the fact of, the fights are fights. I mean, that's just a playtime. But for me, the journey has been the most exciting part. I've made so many great connections with friends, people that, like, dude, when I got stuck in Rome, I got to call people. I'm like, hey, you want to hang out? You know, like, I'm over here now. I know it's last minute, but you want to hang out? And I'm fucking Rome, you know?
Phenomenal.
So it's the same thing with, like, other places. They're like, dude, you're in Bahrain. I'm like,
yeah, right. Never even heard of
the country. They're like, what are you doing there? I'm like, I'm hanging out with one of the princes. They're like, what? we're having a get together. We're doing a practice. We're punching each other in the face. They're like, what the hell? You know, so they're like, where'd you learn this takedown from? I'm like, Khabib. They're like, Khabib who? I was like,
how many Khabibs you know?
Yeah, I was like, Nurmagomedov. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah. Oh, who you train with full time? TJ Dillashaw. Oh, who you hanging out with and beating up in Mortal Kombat? John Jones. You know, like, there's so many adventures that I've been on. Like, even Dustin Poirier wants to collaborate with foundations with me, which is awesome. You know, one day I hope that my foundation gets big enough to compensate and help with his as well. But man, it's just been a journey, you know. So when I die, I can be like, damn, I did so much, worth it.
Yeah,
you know?
That a boy.
Great answer. And, you know, it's great to see that you're enjoying the ride along the way, because that's the only way to do it.
I'm trying my best, because, man, this shit gets lonely as hell. But that's also just because I'm an extreme extrovert. So, like, right now, I got you guys. And I turn off the phone, I'm like, oh, I'm sad.
What do I do?
I got an hour until practice. Dude, I just want to end myself. God damn it.
This guy is me. Yeah. I need something to do at every minute, or my brain will take over and it's not positive thoughts. It's just not, like, positive.
Like, no BS. And it's as saddening as it sounds is, dude, I will walk outside and Dean's like, why do you always walk us in? Like, we always greet Dean or Jillian every single time somebody comes in the house. I'm like, dude, because I'm so fucking bored in this house, I'm so alone that I literally stare outside the window that's right next to the front door. I'm like, is somebody here? Like, where's the mailman? And then I see her skateboarding in. I open up the door. I'm like, yo! Like, she looks at me. She's like, oh my god! And then, like, the whole practice, obviously we're all together. And then, like, I'll walk her out or Dean out to work. And I was like, bye guys, bye. I'm so alone.
That's amazing.
Like, it sounds like a dream.
I'm like Will Ferrell. Yeah. I'm like Will Ferrell and Elf. Like, I'm definitely the dog, but I'm like Will Ferrell and Elf. Where he's like, hey guys, I got dad. And then I don't know where he just gets sad. Like, you know, that's not Santa, you know, type of thing. So
Santa.
Yeah. That's everyone Santa when they come to my house, pretty much.
That's amazing, man.
That's so good. All right, so let's talk beats. I've seen you post some videos. You got some nice 90s hip hop playing in the background there. So let's talk beats. If you had only three gun to your head choices of songs you could come out to that would hype you up, what would they be?
Power by Kanye West is my theme song.
Ooh.
You heard that remix with Jay-Z? That one is on the repeat.
I actually have not, which now I'm going to listen to it because you told me about it. And if you actually, because that album is the best, Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, number one album in the decade. But that album has its own music video, and it's the whole album is a music video. And it's like 30 something minutes long, and he made samples of every song. You know, like, put it in there, kind of slid it in. I think Runaway is the only song that actually plays all the way through. But he made a remix of Power in there where it's just super instrumental, and I love what Kanye West does as a producer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where his producing, like, time really comes out. So Power for sure. Homecoming by Kanye West as well, just because I'm a Chicagoan. I haven't fought Chicago in almost 7-8 years now, since I believe 2010. So actually, so that's way more. That's 11 years now. So for me, it's like, I just miss home. That's my city. You know, my logo and all that is Chicago. I want to help Chicagoans, and that's where I want to live, hopefully, one day with my family. So that, and then I'm trying to think the third one. The third one, man, there's so many. My last one, I did come out to Ambitious as a Writer by Tupac, but that was because my father.
Yes. This is insanity right now. This guy's naming my track, your track. What's even happening right now?
But man, you know, like, what is happening? I got my dad's logo right there. Hopefully, you know, one day, given, hopefully I make it before she passes, but one day I'll make a logo for my mother and you know, come out to one of her songs. I don't know which song, but a lot of oldies, a lot of Tina Turner, Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, so.
Hey, what's love Andy got Gibb, to do with BG's. It, man?
Oh, dude, I've been singing like Andy Gibb with her. Like, I just hear everything. So, and I do all so the high pitch parts, which is hilarious, but I'm trying to think of a third song. Honestly, I'm a very big Dragon Ball Z fan. You know, that was my thing growing up. So,
look at that poster behind me. Oh, let's go.
And you will 100% respect this because I see the photo. So I am Team Gohan. The reason why was because obviously his father passes away. He does this for his father. And then by the end of it, his father motivates him to do so. And at the end, is spiritually there to help him push through. Mm-hmm. So that song of him, you know, kind of like breaking through, and it's, I think it's called Gohan's Anger. That I do want to walk out to that eventually. I'm gonna theme it out very, very soon. But man, I think Gohan's Anger has been just that natural, like that vibe of just how I feel. Doesn't matter how sad I am. Like, you put that song on, you're like, I'm ready to punch him in the face. Like, you know. So yeah. So sorry to kill the vibe with the anime stuff. But yeah, man.
No, but it's okay.
This guy's loving
yeah.
All that stuff.
I got two funny stories for you. So first of all, Dragon Ball is one of my favorite television shows, period, of all time. So what I've actually done is my two brother-in-laws, their favorite show of all time is Dragon Ball Z. So I kind of ignored half of what you said in case there was spoilers, because I'm basically not trying to waste the show and just spanning it over the course of my entire life. So next time we chat, I'm going to go into detail about the sagas and everything. So we'll have that chat. But like, yeah. And the second story is I'm driving out of Toronto yesterday because I live on the outskirts of Toronto. And I'm like, I wish I could listen to Homecoming, but a Toronto version. Oh, wait, let me throw out every single Drake album that might be in my vehicle. Right? It's just like, it's insane. Like, what? I can't believe I connected to both your stories like that. That's so fucking hilarious, man.
Yes, I made one connection. And sadly, it's always guys. Damn it.
Your time is coming. Don't worry. It's always when you least expect it.
Always. So we're going to jump into a little bit of rapid fire here. I saw you eating some tasty cereal on your Instagram. You can't go wrong with peanut butter, Cap'n Crunch here. But what are your top three cereals?
Reese's Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fossil Flakes.
Yo, have you ever tried, what was the cereal I made you try with me? A churro. Have you ever tried the Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Bro!
Dude, they're great.
Number one. Oh, number one. I couldn't believe it. Oh, so good. Next one. Top three movies.
Oh man, Superbad, Rumble in the Bronx.
This guy, man. Who is this man? Who cloned me?
What is the last one? The last one is really, damn. I'm trying to like mix up the comedy. I'm trying to make it depressing now. What's a depressing movie? I'm trying to think. Can we shout out some depressing movies? I'm trying to think. You know, man, I grew up with Jackie Chan. I grew up with martial art movies. So definitely Rumble in the Bronx is one of the fun ones. Drunken Master is another great one. Superbad was like my era's American Pie.
Best comedy all time right there.
I think rewatching The 40-Year-Old Virgin is just hilarious to me. Because it's all the guys before they were big stars.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Kevin Hart, Carell.
Kevin Hart is so good in that one.
Dude, it's so funny. It's
oh, like, you motherfuckers!
Yeah, I was like, it's funny that you bring it up because there's in that scene where it's like a black on black crime where out of nowhere it ends up being like a little gang war. Dean or somebody was saying a really big word to me. I was like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I don't know what that means. So I'm gonna take that as disrespect. I was like, you're all getting clapped, you know? So yes. I was like, you with them? You're getting clapped too. That's it, you know? So, the 40-year-old Virgin, like, there's so many movies that I like that cannot be made today, you know, because they're just so raunchy.
Oh, really? Imagine if Chappelle show existed today.
but even some of the older movies, like Naked Gun,
Leslie Nielsen. Leslie the Legend.
Or like Blazing Saddles, like you can't remake that movie.
Mm-hmm. No.
Impossible.
It's so true. All right, so top three TV shows of all time.
That's if we're gonna just go regular TV shows without, like, you know, excluding the anime. That 70s show for sure is probably my number one. I'm sadly Eric Foreman. As much as I want to be like Fez or Calvin Hyde, I'm definitely Eric Foreman. I'm so disrespected that I have to say that about myself.
Well, you got two Fezes right here, so
yeah. So Eric Foreman, and then I'm just trying to think of like random kid shows. You know, honestly, SpongeBob was hilarious, and Teen Titans is probably another one.
Nice.
I just want to say I'm Beast Boy, so I'm 100% Beast Boy. That's my personality. And I can make animal noises, so that helps. So
let's hear it.
All right. I got two good ones, and hopefully I can do the second one. The first one's a chicken, so.
Wow, that end part is fire, bro.
And then I have a cougar, which is like, come here, ma'am, come on out. No, so I have a cougar. It's a.
Yo, I'm sound biting both of those, bro. I'm sound biting both of those. If you're cool with it. Amazing.
That's amazing. So right into that, what's your favorite animal?
That's the hard part. It's either between, and I'm just going to say monkey because I don't know what type of monkey I like. I just like monkeys, like the Ace Ventura monkey, where like you just pat him on his shoulder.
Yeah, and, you need that companion at all times.
Yeah, I need that companion at all times. And who doesn't want a monkey as a
right?
pet? Like, dude.
Right?
Like, it's like, what was it? What's the monkey's name in Aladdin? It's like Abu or whatever his name is. Like,
yep.
I want that monkey. Like, that guy was like, I'm going to watch your back. And
Ross Geller knew what was up, man.
Yeah, and yeah. I really liked Power Rangers back in the day. So the white Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, my thing. So the white tiger. Plus, you look at Mike Tyson walking around with a white tiger. Like that's the most intimidating shit in the world.
Badass.
Right. Speaking of that, favorite fighter growing up, if you had one.
Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, I love it. Boxing. He's good boxing nice. Fed. Oh,
I've always wanted to be a boxer. Never did.
Right.
I ended up kicking first, you know. But it's one of those things that. Eight division world champ obviously relates to my career. That's why I did bump up, had his own foundation. I had my own foundation. Decided to help his people, decided to help my people. Is the most genuine human being in the world. I'm kind of a dick, but I try my best to be genuine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't care about money, and given he has an abundance of it. But for me, I give away almost like 60% of my income to just people, you know? So please don't text me and call me for money. But it's one of those things that I'm talking to you, my brother, you know. fuck that guy. But it's one of those things that, like, his style is so exciting. He's so fast, so explosive, and that's literally my style really emulates him. Even when I box and strike, my combinations actually are almost just like his.
Good person to emulate. I mean, that's amazing. Because even for me, the transition to MMA love was all started on boxing, and I feel like we're around that same age group. That's so cool.
So what is your favorite sport outside of fighting, and what's your favorite hobby outside of fighting? They could be the same.
My eating, and is there competitive eating? Is that a sport?
I've looked into it. It definitely is.
My favorite sport, I mean, I'm trying to think of like just away from combative, so wrestling obviously doesn't count. My favorite sport outside of fighting, man, I love to play whatever. So when it comes to actually playing, dude, I grew up poor. So tennis is obviously not, you know, one of those things.
I know what you mean.
And all this other shit, you know, like those are expensive people's sports. Like I can't afford a racket. You know, I can't even afford a golf ball. You know, like I found it probably. You know, I definitely stole it. I more than likely stole it. But, you know, like, it's crazy how you see random rackets or golf clubs in like the hood, and you're like, who'd you steal that from?
or who are you beating over the head with it?
Yeah, I was like, how much are you selling this for? Because I know you don't use them. But no, man, it's one of those things that, like, I play anything, so I don't know if I have a favorite sport outside of fighting, but because that's really all I do. I just like beating people up. And what was the other one? What do I like to do? I just love to eat and sleep. But I know
what are your three favorite foods? Three favorite foods.
Tacos, hot chips, anything baked, like donuts and cookies.
Ladies and gentlemen, a 125-135 pound champion right there. Favorite thing to do.
I usually weigh about like 160. I think that's was 173. And the fucked up part about that was I was cornering my friend in Saudi Arabia, and his other corner was he fought 170 but weighed like 230 at the time. He goes, "No BS." Anytime I looked back at the corner, I couldn't tell which one was which. I'm like, "Hey, man, fuck yourself. I'm not that good looking, so don't disrespect me."
And you said number two is hot chips. Eh? You care to elaborate on that a bit?
Like Takis, anything Fuego, hot Cheetos. Oh. And I'm Mexican, so like lemon, hot sauce, and everything. I'm salivating.
Yeah,
those
Takis are fun. Yeah, I started salivating, but those corn chips are too hard for me, though. They're really hard.
They are.
Indian teeth can't deal with that. I'm used to like rotis and shit, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. So like, the Frito-Lay or Dorito material is the best one, but I like Takis. They have actually my favorite bag of chips is an artisan version of the Takis Fuego. They're artisan, so it's like kettle corn chips. But like the powder.
Man, I wish we lived in the States.
Yeah, right? Oh, man. Straight up. I'd be fat.
You don't get those in Canada, man.
Yeah. Dude, if I can get sponsored by companies like those are the companies I want.
Frito-Lay. Sky wants to be the Roy Nelson of the flyweight division, walking around with Burger King fucking on his chest.
I'm the Calvin Gastelum of the flyweight division. Like, I'm gonna see him actually very soon. But it's one of those things that like I was thinking about it. I was like, I want to own like a taco truck or like a bakery. I would 100%. It's like a drug dealer. It's like you don't dip into your own stuff. I would 100% run myself out of business.
Never get high on your own supply, man.
Right, bro.
Yeah, I can't get high on my own supply.
That's amazing. Any other ones you wanted to touch on, Sherrod?
I mean, honestly, I'm at this point going to be like, I can't wait to talk to him again. I'll think of like 20 more. We'll ask him next time. I mean, if it's okay with you, I mean, let's get you ready to go for your camp. I mean, Pies, I know you got an appointment after this, so I'm happy to call it here, but let's schedule another time if you're down.
I'm always down, man. I'm lonely as hell. I'm always down.
Oh, man. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, man. It's great to see what a down-to-earth human being you are. That was a lot of fun, man.
Especially based on your successes, you know, being a hardcore fan and not only, you don't have to just know about the UFC, but like knowing who you are in that realm and hearing you talk about the connections you can make within the realm of the sport. You know, that's what we were talking about before. It's just funny because we call our show the Vet, the Bet, the Casual, but here is, you know, as I'm talking to a non, you know, UFC fighter, but because that casual aspect of just following the UFC, right? Like that's a big conversation now, but here we go, you know. I'm going to do everything we can to like promote the fight and Brave, you know, get this guy back in the UFC whenever your time comes. I mean, we're pumped.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the time, guys. Thank you so much. And I'm here whenever.
Of course.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Maybe we have a special with you and Jillian both. We'll do some like brotherly, sisterly, you know, the redhead funny questions. You know, you lift up slipper like it's an Indian wedding. We'll ask a question. Who's the more annoying one? You got to lift up a hand or something, you know, if you saw
it. It almost be like an OnlyFans, but the complete non-sexual way. Like, I want to see you hit him with a slipper and she'll just start beating the hell out of me.
How much?
Yeah. How much is just punch him across the face? It's pretty much like a live practice session and you're going to see.
It's so good.
That's amazing. I love
it,
man.
It's been an absolute pleasure, honestly. Pleasure getting to know you, man. Honestly.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Please take care of yourselves. It's time for me to go cook some food and then go get beat up.